This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Incidentally, this is one of the ways in which you begin your khutbah. We begin with Bismillah because this is our way. The way of the Muslim is, it begins everything with Bismillah, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah. And then we send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. This is the minimum short form of that. The longer form is what I did. Right? So always remember this. When we speak as Muslims. With confidence, not arrogance. With confidence, two different things. And we begin with the name of Allah, we glorify Allah, and we send salat and salam on Rasulullah. And then we say what we have to say. Famma badu. So that is the next step. And therefore, and say fa. Fa amma badu. Don't just say amma badu. Right? Fa amma badu. We are here to do a kind of refresher and another opportunity for those of you who were in the last khutbah workshop to practice your khutab and to get better at it. And inshallah, we hope this will be of benefit to all of you, inshallah. So let me quickly, I'm not doing the khutbah workshop itself, but since several of you are new faces here, let me quickly go over the important parts of it. So you're not left in the sort of high and dry. First and foremost thing to remember about the khutbah is a khutbah is not just a speech. So this is a very important element. People get carried away by thinking, oh, this is public speaking training. No, it is in a way, yes, true, I agree, but that's not the purpose. The khutbah is not just a speech. It's not public speaking. It's not a lecture, right? It is one of the most important of the ibadat, one of the most important acts of worship that a believer can possibly do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah, Surah al-Jum'ah, and in the surah he mentioned the salat of Jum'ah. Right? وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِسَلَاتِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ. And then Allah told us what to do, فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And he told us what not to do, وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on the day of Jum'ah, when the call for the salat of Jum'ah is done, meaning the adhan for Jum'ah is done, Allah said, run towards, فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Not just walk, not just, saunter around, no, run towards. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, towards the dhikr of Allah. What is the dhikr of Allah? Salah. Which salah? يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ. Specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, right? Min yawmil jum'ah, in the day of Jum'ah. Fas'aw ila zikrillah. Run towards, race towards, make effort towards the salat of Jum'ah. And then what not to do? Wazarul bay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, leave your trade, leave your businesses. And interestingly, the Mufassirin have said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, leave buying, shara. Allah said, leave by selling. Because when you sell something, you gain. You get a profit. Right? When you're buying, you're spending money. But when you are selling, you're gaining something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, leave that gain. And run towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. In this, there is benefit for you, khair for you, blessing for you, if only you understand. So what's being said here? What is being said here is that even though you see benefit in sale, and there is benefit in sale, alhamdulillah, halal, to earn halal risk, this is from one of the acts of worship, alhamdulillah, we must always do that. But Allah is saying, comparing that, now remember there is no comparison between haram and Jum'ah. Haram is haram. We are saying comparison is between halal risk. Allah is saying even with comparing with halal risk, the salah of Jum'ah takes precedence. This is better for you. Right? So the khutbah of Jum'ah is a part of the salah. Now, salat of Jum'ah is different. It's not Dhuhr salah. Even though it is done at the time of Dhuhr, it is not the salah for Dhuhr. This is a different salah altogether. So if you find yourself in a place where there is no masjid and you are alone, what will you pray? Dhuhr or Jum'ah? You will pray Dhuhr. There's no Jum'ah. You can't just stand by yourself and make Jum'ah. No. But supposing you have maybe 5-6 people with you, then you have an option. You can do Jum'ah. But you must search for, if at all possible, a masjid where Jum'ah is happening and go join that congregation. Because the whole idea of Jum'ah is to be with the Jama'ah, is to be with the congregation. So wherever is the congregation, try to get there and do it there. Don't say, no, it's more convenient here, we'll forget the masjid, we just do it here. No. The only time when you are allowed to look at the convenience is where, for example, like you have in UMass, you have a big congregation and there is physical difficulty to get to the mosque because you don't have transportation and so on and so on. Then there is a ijazah to say you can pray Jum'ah in your own place. But you must make the effort to get to the mosque. If you can, like you have Hampshire Mosque there. So if you can actually get to the mosque, go to the mosque. That is afdal. That is much better than doing Jum'ah on your own. But if you have no other option, alhamdulillah. So that is one. Second thing is, therefore, the Salat of Jum'ah is different from the Salat of Zuhr. Now, in many ways, not just one, right? If you read the details of it in Sheikh Muhammad Saleh al-Munajjid, Hafizahullah, on his website, he says there are more than 20 differences between Salatul Jum'ah and Dhuhr Salah. So I'm not listing all of that, so we don't worry about that. But the very clear what is available or understandable to anybody. In the Dhuhr Salah, it is 4 rakat of Fard Salah together, and there is no loud recitation in that salah. Right? In Jum'ah, there are apparently, on the face of it, if you look at it, at least 3 major differences which you can see. Number one, the salah is preceded by a khutbah. Number two, the salah is only 2 rakat. And number three, there is loud recitation of the Quran in the salah. So 3 major differences which anybody can see, and more, we don't need to go into that now. So therefore, the khutbah is part of the ibadah of Jum'ah. It's not just a speech. Now that is the reason why the ahkam, the hukum, the orders, the etiquette, the manners of behaving in the khutbah are the same as behaving in salah. Now, many people don't understand this, but this is something to be spoken about and mentioned to people and so on. So, for example, you will see in the masjid, people come, they saunter in, they sit around, they pull out their phone, they are watching something, doing something, talking to each other. Somebody comes and says, Salaam alaikum, we say, Walaikum assalam. Right? We see all of this stuff and more happening. All of this is not permissible, it is haram. It spoils your salah. The hukum for the khutbah is, and the khutbah is when the imam is on the minbar. Right? In some masajid, in the Hanafi masajid, you will find there is the imam will do a lecture, he will do a bayan before the adhan of Jum'ah. And then the adhan is called, and then the imam goes on the minbar, and then he gives the khutbah. So we're talking here about the khutbah, we're not talking about the bayan before the khutbah. Now that doesn't mean that in the bayan you can chat with each other. No. There is adab to be maintained in the masjid no matter what's happening. So that's a different topic. I won't go into that. But as far as the khutbah is concerned, the khutbah is what happens on the minbar. So now on the minbar, when the imam goes there, as a musalli, as a person who is listening to the khutbah, we are supposed to listen, look at the imam, listen carefully to what the khutbah is. Don't worry about whether it sounds boring or whether the imam's accent is good or not, or whether it's, none of that stuff.
All of this we complain. Oh, you know, his style is not good and he's not a great speaker and he's bored. You didn't come, it's not an entertainment shop. It's not a, you didn't go to a movie, right? The Imam is the Imam, he's not the actor. He's not trying to please you, he's trying to give the message of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So listen respectfully and look at the person, number one. Number two, no unnecessary movement like in Salah. And do nothing except listen to the khutbah. You might say, what about zikr? No zikr. What about reading Quran? No reading Quran. What about if somebody says salam alaikum? You don't reply. If you're praying, what do you do? Somebody says salam alaikum? No, you don't say alaikum salam. You do not reply. What about if I see somebody doing something they should not be doing? Should I correct them? No. Even that you are not supposed to do. After the salah, yes. Brother, you were doing this thing that was wrong. Please don't do it. Well, that's different. But not at that time. Yeah, even to correct somebody, not permissible. Because it is like being in salah. Come, enter the masjid, pray two rakat tahiyatul masjid. Even if the khutbah is going on, no problem. Pray two rakat tahiyatul masjid. Ideally, don't put yourself in that situation. People ask these questions. What shall I do if the khutbah is going on? My point is, why do you get into that situation in the first place? You are supposed to go for Salatul Jummah in time that you have two rakat, you have time to pray two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid and sit and listen to the khutbah. So go 5 minutes early. Don't put yourself in a position where you now have to go around looking for fatwa. So that's a general rule which is a good rule to follow, right? Sometimes somebody, on a side note, somebody asks me, if a non-Muslim greets me and says, Salaam Alaikum, am I allowed to say, Walaikum Asalaam? So I said, why did you get in that situation in the first place? Why didn't you greet him first? If you had said to him, hi, or you said to him, good morning, that the issue would not be there, no? So why didn't you do that? So you don't have good manners. He has better manners than you, that he is greeting you. And now you put yourself into a, tie yourself up in knots and saying, is it halal, haram? Should I say walaikum salam? So go in early, pray two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid, and then sit and listen to the khutbah. And then the iqamat is called, you stand up and you pray two rakat of Far Salah. Now, after the two rakat of Far Salah in Jummah, there is 4 rakat of Sunnah. And then there is another 2 rakat of Sunnah. That you can pray in the masjid or you can go back home and pray on somewhere, it doesn't matter. But that is all part of the Jummah Salah. So don't leave that. There is no Sunnah before the Far Salah in Jummah, but there is 4 rakat of Sunnah after Far Salah plus another 2. So 4 plus 2. Right? So remember that and do it. Now, as a khatib, all of you, inshallah, are potential khutab. May Allah bless you. May Allah give you the words which will reach the hearts of people. May Allah be pleased with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save you from the biggest problem, which is riya, which is showing off. Biggest problem. Riya is shirk. Right? So may Allah protect you from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also protect you from fearing anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because this member, by this I don't mean this particular member, I'm saying the member of the masjid, whichever masjid. Member is the pulpit, is the place from where you give the khutbah. It need not be, you can stand on the ground, that's still the member. Because if you're giving the khutbah, wherever you're standing is the member. Doesn't need to be a structure or something. But mostly you will find in masjid the different structures. Remember one thing. Who is the first khatib of Islam? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, correct? So the member is the member of the Rasul alayhi salam. It is not yours, it is not mine. So when I am standing there, I am standing in the place of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first thing I always tell people is, when I'm talking about the khutbah, is try as much as possible to first feel the awe and the majesty and the glory and the haiba and the fear of standing in the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not a normal thing. It is not an ordinary thing. It's a very, 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 very special thing, which if Allah has given you, then it comes with a huge responsibility. Right? Like a major, major responsibility. To give you an example, and this example is not related to the actual majesty of the thing, but for example, you ask your friend to borrow a car, and your friend has got two cars. He's got a ordinary standard Hyundai, and he's got a Rolls Royce. And your friend says, "I love you, take the Rolls Royce." What will you say? You say, "No." He said, no. I just want a car. I don't want this. This is like a major problem for me. Driving this thing around, if one scratch happens, I am dead. Right? So no way. I don't want to touch this thing. This is yours. Give me the normal Hyundai. I'm okay with the bicycle. That is how, and as I told you, this doesn't even come close to describing the awe and majesty of the member of the Rasul alayhi salam. But just to give you an idea. It's not an ordinary speech. It's not to say, "Oh, it's nice, I have a luck." No. This is a very, very, very important, a special place. Allah has honored you. If you are there, Allah has honored you. But this is not a simple honor. This thing comes with a huge responsibility. Now, having said that, you might say, no, brother, it's too much. I don't want to do it. No. You should do it. Because, alhamdulillah, to do it with that awe and majesty, Allah will help you. You should do it because we need good people to do khutbahs. If everyone washes his hands and says, no, this is too much, I won't do it, then who will do it? Then you will get some lousy guy who has no sense and he will stand there and talk some nonsense. No. So, you must learn. Alhamdulillah, all of you are here to learn. Welcome. So, the important thing. Now, if you have the awe and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are the member of the Rasul, two extremely important things, which is that the khatib himself is very important. Who you are supersedes and is more important than what you are going to say. By who you are, I mean your character, right? Your own, your akhlaq, your manners, your taqwa in your heart, your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which only Allah knows, your ikhlas, your insincerity of your niyyah, all of these things are far, far more important than whatever message you are going to give. And remember, the message is there. It's only when you are talking for whatever, half an hour or something. But who you are is with you your whole life. I can't be honorable when I'm standing there and then I go and do some nonsense somewhere else. I'm in a party, I'm doing, some garbage. I'm behaving in a stupid way in on the street. Or maybe somebody irritates me, then I sort of curse him and use foul language. No. You are a khatib. Remember, if you are a khatib, you are a khatib 24/7. You are a khatib, you are an imam in your house, you are an imam in the street. You are an imam in the shop, you are an imam when you are working. Everywhere you are an imam, you are a representative of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Never forget that. Because your character will come through. Right? And people may say to you, and they have a right to say to you, "How can you behave like this? You are an imam." Now you might feel it's very unfair. What the hell? I'm also human. No. You are not also human. If you are an imam, you are an imam. It's not a title. It is something which Allah has given you. Alhamdulillah, honor that. Second thing is, therefore also, when you stand on the minbar, this is my role, but it is my role. And it is not just my preference, but this comes from the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW and the sunnah of all the sahaba, of all the tabi'in, of all the ulama of Islam, of all the imams, which is that when they stood on the minbar, they dressed appropriately. Now, that doesn't mean you wear, I'm not saying you have to wear sort of brocade robes or something. Obviously, you don't. But I'm saying dress in a way which is respectful. And the number one thing there is, the head must be covered. Right? Now, if you land up with your head uncovered, your khutbah is not invalid. It's not haram. But it is very inappropriate. Ideally, wear a turban. If you can't wear a turban, wear a cap. But cover your head.
Always make sure of that. Never stand and give a khutbah with your head uncovered. It's terrible. It's a very disrespectful thing to do. And as I told you, the member, respect the member of the Rasul. Allah gave it to you. Don't disrespect it. And then, when you're giving the khutbah, a couple of things to keep in mind. Number one, you are speaking for the benefit of everyone. So give a message which is beneficial to everyone. And in that, everyone include yourself, always. Because we are part of this, we are part of the community, right? So message beneficial to everyone, number one. Number two, a message which is uplifting, which is encouraging. So even though part of the message you might say things which, like for example, if you are describing the political situation today, the situation of the Muslims today, well, you got some bad stuff to talk about. I mean, there is depressing stuff. But make sure that from that depressing stuff, you take them out of that well. Don't just dump them there and leave them there. Nah, that's not, you know, that's not a good thing to do, right? So bring them out from there. So plan your khutbah. That's why the reason I'm saying all this is, there's no such thing as a, you know, sort of extempore, on-the-fly kind of khutbah. No. If you're going to give a khutbah, plan it. My practice, lifelong, I write the khutbah. Every khutbah I write. And every year I publish a book of 52 khutbahs, which is 52 weeks in a year. But right now the 7th book is going to be published and the 8th book is ready. Every khutbah I write. Now, when you write the khutbah, it doesn't mean that you go there and you have to now read out every word. No. But it's always, always good. Writing is good. One, because at least I find this and I'm sure you guys will also find it. When you write, it opens your mind. It helps you understand more and better and so on. So write the khutbah. And secondly, it's a aid for you, you know. So in the middle of the khutbah, supposing you forget something, it's there. Always write. So prepare for the khutbah. So message, speak about a situation, but make sure the message is uplifting. End on a positive note. A note of hope. Don't dump them in the ditch and leave them there. That's one thing. Then the other thing is also, the khutbah is not the place to go into details of explanation of the Quran and tafsir and all of that stuff. The khutbah is a message which is current, which helps the Muslims understand the situations that they are in. You're giving them some way of dealing with those situations. You are interpreting those situations in the light of the Quran and the Seerah and the Sunnah. So they understand them, right? And you're showing them a path leading to goodness. So that must be the format of the khutbah. Now you might say, well, you know, what about Tafsir of Quran? Tafsir of Quran is a different topic. You don't do that in the Jummah. Tafsir of Quran is a different topic. Have another halakha of Tafsir, no problem. Similarly, but in the khutbah itself, will you use Quran? Of course you will use Quran. In that context, will you say an ayah and will you explain the ayah? Of course you will do that. But that's not the purpose of the khutbah. Purpose of the khutbah is not to explain the ayah. The ayah is the aid in conveying your message. It is the dalil for your message. The ayah is telling you, is the support for your message. Right? So if I say to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to benefit all of humanity, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah said, you are the best of people and you have been extracted and selected for the people. Allah did not say, ukhrijat minan nas, we have taken you from the people, selected you from. No, for the people. Therefore, we have been selected for the benefit of the people. So now I recited the ayat for you, I gave the explanation of that. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is the ayat reinforces my message that we have been sent for the benefit of the people. Right? So remember that. Message should be uplifting, it should be current, it should deal with people, helping people to see where they are, how they are, what they are, and so on and so forth. Right? Never ever, even though in a khutbah you might have to point out some things which are of a critical nature, but never use the mimbar, the khutbah, to attack anybody. Right? So don't name people,
don't attack somebody even without naming, but in an allegorical fashion, in some roundabout way where people recognize who you are talking about, never do that. The khutbah is not a political platform. It, even though you will talk about politics, you will talk about current events, but it's not a political platform like, for example, a politician giving a speech. That's not, you are not that. You are far, far, far ahead and higher than that. Don't lower yourself to that level. In some cases where you are, for example, if you are giving a khutbah in a masjid, you might have some issues with the with some people in the masjid. You might have some issues with the board of the masjid. And you might, you know, feel that, well, don't use the platform to settle those scores. That's not the purpose of the khutbah. All of those issues that you may have are valid issues. Deal with them separately, not from the khutbah, right? And throughout the khutbah, keep making istighfar, keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for any mistakes that you might make. And we make mistakes, everybody makes mistakes. So keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive for any mistakes which are made, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to convey His word in the way He wants it to be conveyed to His people. And be a part of that. Alright? So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to take the message of Islam in the most beautiful way through your words and through your actions and through the way you deal with people, your akhlaq and manners all over the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you means of khair and barakah for everyone who comes into contact with you, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you what you ask Him and add to that from His generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.